Happy Father's Day. As probably you've heard multiple times already today, I just want to say, start off with, I went and spoke at the Golden Age retreat 2 weeks ago, and they brought a Southern Gospel band in, and people were clapping with it, and Glenda looked at me like, it's a miracle, because I was keeping in time. And she just looked at me like, and I'm like, I'm watching Jerry. Jerry Roth was sitting in front of me. I'm like, I'm just watching him and trying to keep in time with him. I'd say that because, young men, while we're wishing Happy Father's Day, and you may say, well, I don't have any children that look to me, you're a person of influence. And so this morning, when these men come and share, listen, because there's somebody that's probably watching you, and how you carry yourself has an impact. Psalms 103:13 says this, as fathers show compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And if you go to Matthew 7, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this, you parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? If they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask him? I read this because, one, we have our annual business meeting coming up, and as you may have attended other business meetings, ours is not normal like other churches for the most part. Yes, we do have some reports and stuff, but usually I share a reflection and a vision. And this year, I really, for my reflection and vision, a bulk of it will be praise and worship. And I've been struggling with something that I keep getting asked when I'm about somebody goes, oh, you're the pastor at Mercersburg Mennonite. What are you guys doing differently there? And I really try to give an answer, and I really come up short until this, I would say this week. After several conversations I have, I think I have an answer that I want to share with you guys on Wednesday evening when we praise and worship God. So just like on Mother's Day, the elders' wives shared, and this morning, the elders now will share. And I'm looking forward to them coming and sharing. But as they share, I challenge you that as you hear them, remember how much more we have a Heavenly Father who loves us. And it'll be Brent first, Royce, and then Jonathan.
Good morning and happy Father's Day once again. And this is the second time I heard the worship team. You guys did a great job. I mean, those songs really get to me. Once again, I'm Brent Hurst, the son of John Hurst, and I have four children, two boys and two girls. My oldest daughter is Faith. She's 25. Wade is 22, just married yesterday, so we have two left. And Hope, that's 20, and Keenan, the best for last, I guess, he says. He's 15. He'll be 16 here at the end of August. I grew up on a farm. I had an idyllic childhood. As I said in the first service, I've been a son for all of my life and just a father for half my life. So, I did. I grew up on a farm, and I had a very good childhood. My father, whenever you work with the father, you're taught lots of things about just farming and taking care of the animals and mechanic work, just carpentry. I could go on. I also was taught how to the love of motorcycles, fast cars, and the love to hunt. And my father and I, we spent lots of times. We went out west to hunt. We've been going down to West Virginia, Keith, Dad, and I, and some other guys since 91, we took down a camper for probably for the first 10 to 15 years, and we would park alongside the road there and hunt. And then they banned that, so we had to resort to tent camping. And my father, being a good father that he is, would go with us back in, 4 miles back in, to hunt, to camp in a tent. And it would get cold, and real cold. And the last year, we went back 3 miles, and it would get down at night, probably around 10 degrees, and Dad said, Brent, this is it. He said, I'm not doing this again. But we had very fond memories of that. When we went out west, he shot a 6x6 elk and I shot a mule deer. He also taught me lots of things about forgiveness and helping those that are less fortunate. And there's a lot of men here I want to acknowledge. If you're not on this list, don't be offended. But I want to recognize my father-in-law, John Wadle. I was always amazed when I would go see Mary that he would always have a song on his lips before we would have a meal. He always would sing a song. He always loved poems, loved vocabulary, and that meant a lot to me. Chet Martin, Chet, we have a lot of things. Ron McCleary, Stan Myers, Stan, on his deathbed, he shared how he orchestrated the Bethlehem Steel property, as Chet would know. Like 12 farms got together, and as a young guy, that meant a lot to me. Clifford Lehman, you youth group kids don't know how good you have it back when we did the potato bar. We had to raise potatoes, And like I said in the first service, we had to walk through snow both ways to get to the potato patch. But Lloyd Genrick, he did Mary's and I our marriage counseling and many things with him. Uncle Mellon, Heshman, Titus Martin, Glenn Martin, Nelson Myers, Jay Coons, and Tim Keller. All these men have worked with them, and they had influence upon my life. I guess a challenge to all of you guys, men, as I said in the first service, as the church goes, as the men go, the church goes. A church is not for the women, and that's what it's perceived at. It's perceived as a woman's job to find her children their spiritual way. But it's men. We are called by God to lead. And do it well. Yesterday, we got married, and I met a guy, Brian. I met him on Friday night. Man, he's a brother in Christ. I mean, so before he left there, we found that we had a lot of stuff in common. Both like to hunt, and he worked for PE, and we knew a lot of common people. And he had the love of motorcycles, the love of speed. Once again, he was in the drag cars, and but then before he left, he prayed with me right there while we were there at the venue. He said, "Hey, so I'm going home," but he said, "Can I pray with you?" That was awesome. And so I'm telling you, us men, let's do our job well. Life is full of experiences. Life is not fair. I also witnessed, as I said in the first service, when you have a farm involved and that goes through the generations, a lot of times you see, we all heard of a family business or a family farm where people feel like they're being treated unfair, and there's a family feud or breakup. And my father was, as the farm was passed down through generations, I've seen him forgive his brothers and sisters because they felt like just forgiveness is something that we give, not when they ask. We give it because we are Christians, and we are unforgiveness will tear a church apart, a family business apart, a family or a relationship. If there's unforgiveness in your life, as it lays with you, put it to rest. In Colossians 3, starting in verse 12, Since God chose you to be the holy people that he loves, you must clothe yourself with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you first, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourself with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts, for as the members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Amen. The church is in James 1:27. We all know the verse, pure and faultless religion exists to take care of the orphans and the widows. We as men are supposed to stand in the gap for those that life is not fair, and we're called to stand in the gap as men did for me. And as we look around and encounter people, I met a young man last night who did not have all the advantages that some kids have, and I talked to him, and in fact, I invited him here to church, and it's our job to look for those that need help. Another thing that I hope that I receive and hope to pass on is integrity. Ecclesiastes 9:10. Whatever you do, do it well. For when you go to the grave, there will be no work or planning or knowledge or wisdom. Be on time. Have a good work ethic. Put forth your best effort. Have a positive body language. Have a good attitude. That doesn't mean we can't share our bad days, but you know, when you go to work, put in your best face. Have enthusiasm. Be teachable. I said in the first service, when I come up with an idea and Ron McCleary says, he just looks at me like he didn't think that would be a good idea. You better take that to heart and say, why are you thinking that? And then go above and beyond what is required. Under promise, but over perform. It takes a lifetime to build a reputation, but you can lose it with one bad decision. I said, the first, we all like free things. James says that wisdom is free. If we ask God for wisdom, he would freely give it to us. Let's ask for wisdom. And the next thing that's free is your salvation. If you are not sure of your salvation, take care of that right now. I guess in closing, the one thing I hope to pass on to my kids . The most important commandment is this: the Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally as important: love your neighbor as yourself. Whatever you've been blessed with in this life, it means nothing at all if it don't have eternal value. Live life well.
Morning, everyone. So this is a picture of my family, for those of you that don't know us very well. My name's Royce. I was lucky enough to marry my beautiful wife, Chris. We were married in 2001. And my son is standing in the back with the hat on, looking not very impressed to have his picture taken. That's Cooper, he's 21. Isabella's kind of right there in front of my wife. She's 18. And Brooklyn is 16, to the right of Chris. And then we have Bentley and Crew there in the front. Bentley's 8 and Crew is 5. So I was raised by a mechanic, as some of you may know, and I was also named after a car. I was named after the Rolls Royce. So to carry that tradition, I named my oldest son, Cooper, after the Mini Cooper. Bought him a Mini Cooper when he turned 16, so my next boy, Bentley, is probably going to have his name changed because cannot afford a Bentley. Well, when we were pregnant with Crew, we were kind of discussing his name and couldn't agree on a car name, so we named him Crew, and we kind of jokingly say that he is our pit crew. So to tell you a little bit about my childhood, I'm going to talk quite a bit about my dad, some about my granddad. They both had a lot of influence on my life, and I want to say that I'm blessed that they were both godly men. But before I jump into this, I want to start with a little joke. Someone once said that being a great father is a lot like shaving. No matter how well you shave today, you're going to have to shave again tomorrow. And that's kind of a lot like being a dad. You know, we all make a lot of mistakes, but luckily we get a second chance the next day. You know, sometimes we can have a bad day, we kind of screw up, and just always remember as a Christian father that an apology to your kids goes a long way. Got to turn it on. So I kind of loosely based my topic this morning off the hymn, Faith of Our Fathers. With that in mind, this is when Pastor Dave asked me to speak this morning. I was thinking a lot about faith as I was kind of thinking about what I was going to talk about, thinking about my dad and my granddad and the great faith they had, and this hymn kept coming to mind. So I was born the youngest of 4 kids. My dad's name is Dolan. Mom's name's Donna. My oldest brother is Dorn, and then I have 2 older sisters, Kendra and Lori. Had a lot of animals as pets growing up. Dad left me pretty much get any pet that I wanted, and it started with a dog, cats. I had chickens and rabbits. As I got older, I got horses, had a donkey, raised some steers, realized I'd never be a farmer because lost money on those steers. Doesn't pay to feed them horse feed. But as I said, my dad was a mechanic. That's a picture of his first mechanic shop. It was a full-service station. I spent a lot of Saturdays helping him in the shop. We would do leftover mechanic projects. We would clean the shop and mow the grass. My dad was kind of a clean freak, and so he made us wash the floor down with soap and water, followed by a squeegee to make sure we got every drop of dirt off the floor. Couple things I kind of learned from him on those Saturdays was, one, if you busted your knuckle open, you could rub a little grease in it and the bleeding would stop. But if you got Varsol in that cut, it did not feel good. When I was young, I would learn to pump gas. I would beg my mom to drop me off at the station. Probably at the age of 5 or 6, I would get dropped off there and help pump gas. And through some of those times, I also learned that Fords were made for mechanics because, you see, if there wasn't Fords breaking down, we didn't have food or clothes to wear. Also, Dad taught us that foreign motors was going to be the downfall of our country, but as I got older, I realized that's because they didn't break down, so now I drive a Honda. Dad also taught us that the Chevys were made for gentlemen to drive, and you just got to love the look of that good American muscle. So here's a picture of my dad. I joke a lot about things that Dad taught me, but honestly, the best things he taught me was to be honest, and to be a hardworking father. He taught me how to treat others, how to serve God, and how to serve my family. My dad was the perfect example of what an earthly father should look like. I think he may have had the biggest heart of any man I've ever met. Another thing I learned from my dad was if you couldn't fix something the first time, never give up. I don't believe I ever saw my dad give up on a project that came through the shop. I think some of the most important things that Dad taught me was also to have faith in God. Many times I would go to my dad's bedroom to tell him goodnight to find him on his knees beside his bed praying. Sundays we spent going to church. One thing I learned early on as a kid was when the church doors were open, they would be EBs in those church pews. It didn't really matter if it was my birthday or another important day in my life. If there was church, we were going to be there. I spent a lot of my life going to church, and that's a lesson I want to carry on to my kids. My dad is a man that followed Christ with all his heart. That's a picture of my granddad. He was another great example in my life. I remember a lot of things about him, but I couldn't find a better picture of him. He always wore the same shirt and pants, I believe, every day. Not the exact same. They just looked the same. They were the green Dickies. And he had a green Dickies matching coat that he would wear. Typically smelled kind of like sawdust and some paint thinner. I spent a lot of time helping him in his wood shop. I would help mow his grass. He also had a fruit stand that he set up along Route 40, and he would run down to Eastern Shore early in the morning, pick up corn, watermelons, cantaloupes. Sometimes I would get to ride along with him, and we just spent a lot of time together. He taught me that when you sell corn to a customer, you give them 13 ears, not 12, because that's the baker's dozen. You always treat your customers with respect. As a young man, as a young boy, I built some birdhouses and asked him to sell in his little fruit stand there, and they always seemed to sell, although they were oddly built. And funny thing, later in years when I was digging around in his wood shop one day, I found them tucked away in a back corner. I believe he was a great man of God, and I always cherish these times we spent together. So now that you got caught up on some of my childhood, I want to go back to the greatest lesson that my dad and granddad taught me. And this was typically a lesson that I learned through observation. It's this faith that they always had, the great example of how they lived their life as for Christ. Because of this, I want to switch gears, go back to this thought of faith of our fathers. So in honor of my dad, I want to talk about faith in kind of a gear-headed way that Dad would appreciate. So can anybody tell me what that car is? Yep, Chevy Impala. So Dad's example of faith was always this. When you put a key in a car's ignition and turn that key, you expect it to start, right? Especially if that key's in a Chevy. You don't ever walk out to your car and think, I wonder if this car is going to start today. No, you have faith that it's going to start, which is probably why you left about 5 minutes late. So let's talk about the Chevy Impala a little bit. It's actually not going to be really about the car. It's going to be more about this animal. So this is an Impala deer. Wonder why the Chevy named their car after this animal. Well, a few fun facts about this. If frightened, the Impala can run between 50 and 60 miles per hour. That's an incredible amount of speed, especially for a deer. I've always hoped to break a 10-minute mile, and after about a year of training, I was able to do it once. You're not supposed to laugh at that. But actually, this animal can run, at 50 mile an hour, this animal can run a mile every 83 seconds. Maybe that's why Chevy named their car after this animal. But also get this, they can jump obstacles up to 10 feet high and 33 feet across. So these walls in the church are about 12 feet to the point of the ceiling, and the room's maybe 38 feet wide. So that animal could almost clear this building. So probably that's why Chevy decided to name the car after this. So if you would find an Impala in a zoo, imagine what kind of a pen they have to pen these animals up. In the U.S., there's a zoo that has impalas in San Diego and one in Tennessee, and there are several in Europe. Can anyone guess how you can pen up an impala? Yep. You heard it from the first. Okay. So you can actually contain an impala by penning him up inside of a 3-foot solid wall. You see, as long as an impala can't see through that obstacle, he won't jump to the other side of the wall. He'll simply walk up to the wall, assess the risk, and then choose to stay on his side of the wall. I wonder how often as Christian fathers we're like that impala. As men, we have many talents. Even though we have different talents among us, God gives us each some awesome gifts and some awesome responsibilities as leaders and fathers of our homes. But how often does a tiny little obstacle contain us or handicap us, make us unwilling to do what God's calling us to do? How often do we feel boxed in by these tiny little walls that Satan places in front of us? And what might those walls look like in our lives? It could be a neighbor that needs help mowing his lawn, but we just got off work. It could be a kid that just spent several hours drawing a picture, but we have to take a phone call. Maybe our wife had a rough day and wants to hand the kids over to us, but we want to sit down and watch a game, that tiny little wall. So you kind of get the picture. Let's think for a second about who placed that wall around the impala. God didn't do it. He simply gave the impala the ability to escape. But who places these walls in our lives? Just like the impala, God gives us the ability to do great things, and as fathers and husbands, as leaders, we need to simply follow that calling in faith. So I go back to this song, Faith of Our Fathers. When we think about the legacy we're called to leave our families, maybe some of you didn't have a faithful father or a dad that was in your picture. So I want to leave this challenge with you, that you have your own legacy as a man, as a father, and as a leader. And that legacy can take one of these three paths. First, the faith legacy might start with you as a man. If you didn't happen to have that faithful father in your life, if there wasn't a dad in the picture when you were a kid, this legacy might start with you. And you can be the first one to start this faith legacy, and that is an awesome opportunity. Or maybe the legacy will continue with you if you were blessed like I was to have a grandfather and a father who were great examples as faithful dads. Now it's up to you to continue that legacy. Again, it comes down to us to continue the legacy, to carry that torch. Or this third path, and it's a sad one, is that that legacy could end with you as a dad. Through bad choices, through not following God, the faith legacy could end with you, and on this path, Satan truly is the winner as the faith legacy dies with you. So my challenge to you today is, how are you going to live your legacy? It's up to us as men to either start or continue the legacy of the faithful fathers. We as men and dad have some great opportunities to be used in God's kingdom. I challenge us to be used in God's kingdom to grow his kingdom, to be a father and leader in our home, our church, and our community, to fulfill our calling to be faithful fathers and leaders. Don't let that small wall or stumbling block keep you from fulfilling your calling. The last line of this hymn, Faith of Our Fathers, each verse it repeats the same statement. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Happy Father's Day.
So you all got a few weeks ago Alicia's perspective of the Rotz household, and so today it's my turn, the Rotz family, part two. So Alicia shared about how Trinity would come in the middle of the night and find us. Well, she still comes and finds me. It's typically not in the middle of the night, but it's when I'm in the middle of projects or whatever else, she's very often by my side. And I love spending the time with that, but as probably most dads, I probably don't always show the appreciation that I should when she shows up in the middle of things. Adelaide finds projects for me, although they're very rarely in the kitchen. And these projects are a really cool way to see her creativity and things come alive as well. But again, I probably don't always show the appreciation when she comes in the middle of something and says, "Hey, Dad, I got an idea." So when I think of my dad and our relationship, we've always had a good relationship, and I've learned a lot by being by his side while growing up. Lately, I still learn a lot from him by calling him, texting him, or just having conversations about random questions or perspectives of life. Dad always showed me that you stick to what you do. He showed me to do a job well done and not to compromise. He also set an example that the things of this world, promotions, other things like that are great, but you don't do it at the cost of those that you love the most. Dad also taught me not to be afraid to try things. He showed me that if you just had a general idea of how things worked, you could figure your way through it and you could always fix something. And he also helped me to understand that questions are the best ways to understand things and to dig deep. Now, as far as for me and my journey, let's say that I always had a vision of growing up and being surrounded by beautiful women. However, this was not always the vision that I had, but I'm very glad that God doesn't always give us everything that we think is best. And I don't know, Dave, if you can tell, but I am raising them right, if you can tell the ornaments there that are, you know. But anyway. But yes, I am a girl dad. Not only a girl dad, but a girl dad that only had another brother. So I'm learning lots. I'm going to share one of those learnings this morning that will help those others of you that may be girl dads or maybe those that are just surrounded by beautiful women. Now, I know that this isn't always true, but, you know, I have found that men and women tend to communicate slightly differently. So, how many of you guys have been to Hershey Park before? All right, fair amount. So when I think about the way men communicate, it's kind of like this, right? So whenever we talk about a time frame or something, you know, it seems like there's a period of time, you just share some facts, you get some things, and it's kind of up, down, over, onto the next thing. Women are a little different. So when I think about the way I have learned that women communicate, it's a little more like this. It's kind of slow. It may meander for a while. And if you stick with it long enough, you may end up in the same place that you started. Now, neither of these are right or wrong, but they're very different. And that's honestly part of being a dad as well, is understanding that there are differences, whether it's gender, whether it's individuals, all the different things, and looking for ways to encourage those differences rather than squash them and bring those folks along in all the differences they have. Now, in our house, one of the other things that I found interesting about being a dad, in our house, we talk a lot about God's good plan. This is actually laid out in Deuteronomy 6:3. God has given the commandments to the Israelites, and they're going to take this land. And God says, as you go into this land, follow these commandments so it may go well with you, so that you may prosper in this land. Those conditions weren't meant to restrict, but rather to bring a lot of life. Now, some of us follow God's good plan more closely than others, and regardless of whether you do or not, there's still grace and mercy for all of those that are willing to repent. However, if you do follow God's good plan and you're a dad, you're also a husband. And that's one of the other things about being a father, is that understanding that your calling is first and foremost to be a good husband, followed closely second by being an excellent father. Which means that being a dad is a lot. There's all sorts of things that are pulling at you, being a provider, a husband, a father, friend, other projects, aspects, all these different things that create tons of pressure. And I'll speak a little bit more about that as I go forward. But when I think about what I want to pass on to my girls, it's all about following Jesus in everything that you do. Now, there's different ways to the cross. Some people here have probably come at 12 and were baptized and have never looked back. Other people just ran headlong away, and maybe you turned and came back. And there could even be some people who are still running today. There's all sorts of different ways. But even as we do follow Jesus, this looks all sorts of different ways as well, right? Some of you are in full-time ministry. Some folks, you know, it just looks all different ways, whatever profession you have. But no matter what it is, it's all about following Jesus and showing him to others. I'm blessed to already see this in many ways in my girls. I see Trinity with her selflessness and ability to think of others so quickly. I see Adelaide with her love for people and relationships and her concern for those that don't know Jesus. Now, going down to my shop, there's this. And yes, both signs may be true at times. But I have found that the only things that I can fix really aren't problems at all. They're very insignificant. If it moves and it shouldn't, duct tape. If it doesn't move and it should, WD-40, right? But even whenever you include wrenches, welders, saws, everything, even money, you start to realize that even all those things thrown into the equation will not fix the most significant issues in life. And this is why when life starts to break us, there is only one carpenter who actually knows the way to fix it, and that's Jesus. Now, I want to admit that I'm actually not a huge fan of Father's Day messages. I didn't tell Dave that whenever he asked me this, but I'm actually not. It seems to me like a lot of times these messages are focused on, you know, manning up, stepping up, doing better, leading well, you know, all these different things, but I'm honestly not sure it's all about that. It's not about what we can or can't do at all. Because, see, when it comes to life, it doesn't matter how powerful, how wealthy, how popular, how strong, how fast you are, or anything. At some point, this world is going to break you. You're not going to be able to rely on the things that you think you have. And you're going to figure out that it's not all about you. It can't be. Life is tough. And I think that's the point. We as men may be strong, but we aren't strong enough to take on life by ourselves. Rather, we need to look to the author of life, Jesus, to have the freedom to look past this world and find happiness, fulfillment, and satisfaction in him. Lastly, I do want to acknowledge something. Some of you may look at me and think that my girls have a great dad or a better dad than maybe you've experienced, and I do understand that some fathers have jaded people's ideas of what a godly father looks like. But no matter how good or poor of an example any of us are, we still pale in comparison to who God is and the love that he has for us, each and every one of us, and I hope that we can believe that. Even if you've never had a good father figure, or even if you've never had a father figure at all, it doesn't change the fact that you have a heavenly father, and a heavenly father that is crazy about you the way you are and wants a relationship with you. When I think about Father's Day, it isn't about me. Don't get me wrong, I love to hear all the things that my family appreciates about me. I also like realizing that they love me enough to overlook all the things that they don't appreciate about me. But at the end of the day, I want them to know that my faith isn't just an abstract concept. It's not just a crutch to get through life. I want them to know, and even more to see, that it's the honest-to-goodness truth, and it's the sole truth to live by. So fathers, happy Father's Day, and thank you for the examples that you do place in your children's lives and the lives around you. As we continue to be the light for the world, continue to kneel at the cross and show those you influence how to do the same.
So in closing, I had something happen this week that made me really think about how I wanted to kind of close our morning service. My dad really likes to set off fireworks. And so he asked Seth and I to come and meet him. And I say this because Seth had his wisdom teeth out. I had a whole bunch of things going on. I'm like, really, I just don't need to do this. I don't need to take the time to help him pick out these things. But as we were finishing up, he kind of made a comment that I realized what Brent had just said earlier. He didn't know how many more times he was going to be able to do this. As he said, Brent's dad said, this is it. I'm just challenging us as fathers, as sons, as children. You don't know when that might be the last time. When you want to write it off and say, maybe the next time I'll get it, or maybe the next time I'll say I'm sorry, or maybe the next time I'll take this moment today. Make sure you're living out what was just challenged. Is Christ being seen through your words and actions? And take those moments and love on those around you, whether they deserve it or not. Because do you deserve it or not? Happy Father's Day. Take a moment and reflect on it. Celebrate it. Cherish the children, the people that you influence, and cherish the fathers and the people that have influenced you. Let's stand as we close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great love that you showed through your Son Jesus, and that we see our Heavenly Father in a love that we do not fully understand. And so, Lord, wherever each one of us is at right now, this morning, may it be said of us that our desires, that our eyes are fixed on your Son Jesus. We experience your great love. We are in this right relationship with you because of Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that as we go forth from here, that we take the opportunities before us because we realize that what we have right now, this opportunity, let us take it and be people of peace. May we offer forgiveness, even if it has not been asked. Let we also pursue reconciliation with those that we are distant from. Lord, may we take opportunities to just celebrate and rejoice with those around us. But most of all, Lord, may they see your Son Jesus through our words and actions. And so, Lord, we thank you for the fathers that are here. We pray a blessing upon them. But most of all, we thank you, our Heavenly Father, who has loved us and shown it through the cross and the empty tomb. And it's because of your Son Jesus we can come to your throne to receive the grace and mercy that we need to live out this faith. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you for your time and attention. Go in the love and peace of Jesus Christ. You're dismissed.